I just want to thank God for this opportunity that again today we can gather like this to hear His word. I'm enjoying myself as I'm learning not to perform. I've learned that long time ago, but we always get reminded not to perform. Because when we start performing, we try to do things in our own strength and we leave God outside. But in what we do, we follow our hearts. And we do what we feel in our hearts. And as we do what we feel in our hearts, the Lord, as He guides us, He is going to perform that word that He promised. This morning, I just want to read an article. You know, in the beginning of the year, you go to many places. People believe that this is the time for us to fast and pray. And as we pray, the idea is we're trying to get God's attention. And we also quote Elijah. The Bible says Elijah put his head between his knees and he prayed for rain. He prayed for rain until they saw a cloud which was as small as a fist. And only then he said to his servant, go and tell Ahab that he must rush home. Otherwise, the rain is going to catch up with him. I can hear a sound of a mighty rain coming. Now, we quote that part to say he prayed and he had his head between his knees. He kept on sending his servant away. The servant came back to say, no, I don't see anything. And only on the seventh time, that is when the servant said, I see a cloud as small as a fist of a man. And we say that is how we actually should approach God. Because if we do not approach God like that, we will not see things happening. I came across this article last night, and I just like the way that it put it so well. It's written by Joseph Prince. You know how much we respect Joseph Prince. He has had great influence in our lives. Two individuals that have influenced us mostly in how we're walking now in this walk of grace, basing our walk on the finished work of Christ. It's Andrew Womack and Joseph Prince. So if you spend time, if you want to listen to more stuff, go and listen to those guys. We really believe that they are preaching the word of God. Now, this article is written by Joseph Prince. Okay, the scripture that is basing this article on is Mark chapter 11, verse 23. It says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now think about it. You and I wanting a mountain to move. I think we'll want to fast for more than 40 days. What we know about is that Jesus fasted for 40 days and things happened, and other people fasted for 40 days and things happened. So to move a mountain, we must fast for more than 40 days. That would be our normal reaction. Look at the new covenant mindset. You don't pray that the mountain be moved. You speak to the mountain. Totally different to what happened in the old covenant. Now, you will remember that when Elijah wanted the rain to come, he prayed and prayed and prayed. That was the old covenant. This is new. Now let me read this article. Pray with a new covenant mindset. Did you know that when it came to a blessing, that is rain falling for Israel, Elijah prayed hard by bowing his head between his knees. That is in Kings chapter 18 verses 41 to 45. But when it came to a curse, drought for Israel, he simply declared it with confidence. That is in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And the question is, why? It's because Elijah had more faith in God's judgment than in God's goodness. He was an old covenant prophet with an old covenant mindset when it came to prayer. There are two different mindsets. Old covenant mindset and the new covenant mindset. They are totally different. My friend, old covenant prophets call your sins to remembrance and deliver to you the judgment and punishment of God. They are judgment minded. But new covenant prophets call your forgiveness and righteousness in Christ to remembrance. That's the focus of the new covenant prophets. Their job is to call your remembrance to your forgiveness and righteousness in Christ and point you to the finished work of Christ. So when it comes to praying, do you have an old covenant mindset that says God is quick to curse but slow to bless? Or do you have a new covenant mindset that says, because of Jesus, God doesn't curse me but is quick to bless me? I encourage you to put on a new covenant mindset. Know that because of Jesus' work, which was finished at the cross, if you need a blessing today, you don't have to pray hard and long as if God is reluctant to bless you. No. All you have to do is boldly declare the blessing in faith and it will come to pass. This is how we approach prayer. It's a relationship for us to receive what God has already provided for us. So when we pray, don't try to pray hard. Don't try to convince God. God is convinced already. He was convinced by Christ. So don't try to convince God. Don't talk about praying hard and fasting. When the Lord tells you to fast, it's because he's trying to change your mindset. That's fine. But don't say it's at the beginning of the year, I have to fast. I have to ask that God blesses me this year. Otherwise, this year won't be good for me. No. That's an old covenant mindset. Fast as the Lord leads you. He can lead you to fast. Fast then. So if God does not give me a leading to say, let us have a corporate fast, I'll never tell you to fast. God can tell me to fast. I'll fast on my own. But I'm not going to put you into that if God has not told me to say, call a corporate fast. So if God calls a corporate fast next week, please understand that it's God who said, let's fast. And he knows why. It's because he wants to change our mindset. But we are not going to do it because we want to convince God and believing that once we fasted, God then will answer us. Our mindset is totally different. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to start this word like this today because especially you can get into bondage when you listen to this message, because you may start thinking it's about doing. It has nothing to do with doing before God. It is principles that give life. So those principles will assist you as you walk with God, as you apply them, as the Lord leads you, you're going to bear fruit. We are not saying now start following these laws. The moment you do that, you're taking yourself back to the law. And that's not where we live. We live under grace. The Lord guides our steps on a daily basis. And he prompts us to do things. And when he prompts us to do it, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's never going to be hard. If you feel that God wants you to do something and you think it's too difficult for you, it's not God. It is not God. Forget it. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. When he gives you an instruction to do something, remember Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. He works in you the desire, the will to do. And then you will act according to his plans. So you feel a burden to do something. It's heavy. Don't do it. The world is not going to fall over. Understand that part. If you feel God is leading you, and this is light, and the Bible says it's a light leading, that's how God leads us. He's not going to force us. Then do it, because God knows why He wants you to do that. So it was very important for me to share this article with you before this message, because you can get into bondage. And when you get into bondage, I can tell you, you'll have a miserable year. Because we are building precept upon precept. I don't want you to get into any bondage, but I want you to understand what can help us. So when you don't do certain things, if the Lord has not told you to do them, don't do them. Just don't do them. If you don't understand anything, don't do it. God is going to put a desire inside your heart, and you will do it. There are people who try to do stuff to please God, and they are miserable. You look at their faces, you can see it, they are really miserable. They are not enjoying what they are doing. It's because they think they are trying to please God. God is not pleased by that. God wants us to do things out of love. And this goes as well with tithing. I must just say this clearly right now. This is the right moment to say. If you do not understand tithing, do not tithe. Do not tithe. It is not going to benefit you. You will get nothing out of it if you don't understand tithing. Don't give tithes because you think it will please God, because it's what is expected of you. God expects you to do that. And you have no understanding of what tithes are for. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not going to help you. You'll see, God will give you an understanding of the relationship with Him. As you grow in your relationship with Him, when you love God, when you are in this love relationship with the Lord, you love Him so much, you'll come to a point where you understand that what belongs to me belongs to God. So when God says, share what you have with me for the sake of the gospel, it's not a difficult thing. We are in a relationship. I am not forced. I do this because I'm in a relationship with the Father. But if you think I'm doing this to please the Father, the Bible says it very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It says, even if I can give my body, even if I can burn my body, if I am not doing it out of love, it is not going to benefit me. I can give away everything that I have. If I am not doing it out of love, it is not going to benefit me. So we must understand the difference in the relationship and the walk that we have. Those people in the old covenant, they had a different covenant where it was based on their performance. You do, God does. You do, God does. That is why Elijah found it very easy when God gave the judgment, that he did not even have to pray, because he knew they had sinned. So because they've sinned, automatically what comes after sin is what? It's judgment. So why pray for what you know is coming? They had faith in that. And you know what the Bible tells us as well? After they offered their sacrifices, they did not go on long prayers. They started rejoicing, knowing that they have done what God wanted them to do. And because of that, then they expected that those things will come. That is how their relationship was. But we live in a totally different relationship where everything is done already. Amen. In Christ Jesus. So what do then? We receive from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. God gave us Christ. He did not spare Christ. So how can He withhold any of these things from us? So our approach to God is not going to withhold anything. So I go and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I have this need. Lord, I thank You for Your provision for it. I receive it in Jesus' name. And I start praising God. I rejoice in God. I forget about that need. And I move on. I don't have to beg Him 2011 in time. You need to understand that we are free from the rules. Praise the Lord. Now, before we go, let us start where we always start, actually. I started talking what I should have said after this. Let's look at this. Let's start with our confession. Let's go. I am filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I am fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I continually give thanks unto the Father who has made me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look at this. I continually give thanks. I do not continually pray. I continually give thanks to the Father who has made me a partaker. I am a partaker already of the inheritance of the saints in light. And let's continue. God has delivered me. He is not going to deliver me. God has delivered me from the power of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. I am in the kingdom of his dear son, where there is abundance, there is everything that I need. I don't need to beg him for anything. And my part is to continually, all the time, just give praise, give thanks, all the time. That is how I should go. Praise the Lord. God has delivered me from the power of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom I have redemption through his blood. How am I redeemed? If you redeem something, something was held by someone, and you pay a price so that that thing gets redeemed, it gets set free. What set me free? What delivered me? It's the blood. It's the blood. It's not what I do. It's not my prayer. It's not my night prayer. It's the blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. You know what? I've been redeemed through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. This has been given to me because I just belong to this kingdom. We must understand that. I bump my foot against a stone or whatever. I do something wrong. I am forgiven already. I say, ish, that was an error. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, for the strength that I do not do it again. I grow. Next time, I've seen that stone now. I'm not going to bump my foot again against that stone. That's our relationship with God. We need to live in a newness of life. Not to live like the people that are still stuck in the old mentality. We need to have freedom. And as we have this freedom is going to be seen by people around us, and people will see and be drawn to what we are experiencing. This great relationship with the Father. Praise the Lord. Now we are continuing with our series, The Lessons from Joseph. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for these lessons. God is having us touch things in different ways. And I love how he does it, because I read a portion and he gives me a title of the message. And then after that, then he reveals to me what he wants me to speak about. So now what I'm enjoying then is we are covering things as well that it would take us months perhaps to cover those things in details. But God is allowing us as we go through this story that we touch on that subject. Now what you do yourself now, you go and you do research. You read the word yourself. Read these things. Dig up these things and get the details. You must remember now, the Bible uses preached word to save. How much important it is that we preach the word, the positive word. We declare things to you. You hear us declaring those things. Because if we do not do that, the Bible says, then people will not receive what God has for them, because they will have nothing to believe. So I need to come here, preach the word, declare the word, inspire you with the word. I can teach you the word, but with me teaching you, it is critical as well that I declare the word of God, because God wants to raise your faith. And what does he use? He uses the word because he wants to inspire you. So he can start by inspiring you, and then after he has done that, he puts a teaching across. Because now he knows that inspiration will not sustain you. You need the teaching. So then he brings the teaching across to then tell you, this is how we walk. God is the most positive being that you can find. He does not even look at the negative stuff. He calls those things that be not as though they were. That is how he is. So he wants us as the preachers to inspire you, teach you, inspire you, teach you, inspire you, teach you. Praise the Lord. Today's lesson is entitled, Be a Good Steward. Be a good steward. As I said earlier, the way I started, I was laying the foundation because I don't want to get into any bondage. When I talk about stuff that we can do, this is the thing as well that happens. When you start looking at people in the Bible and you use them as examples and you're learning from them, people become bound. They fall into that trap of wanting to try and be like that person so that I can get the same results. I can tell you, that's not why we're teaching you these things. We are not trying to get you to be like that person. We are showing you the principles that God uses. And the Lord will then lead you. He's going to lead you. Remember, his burden is light. His burden is light. His burden is light. Any heavy burden is not from the Lord. Otherwise, you're living under the old covenant. God does not force us. He does not push us. But if you have the old covenant mentality, what will happen is you can feel as if God is pushing you. But actually, that's not what is happening. You've taken the way you receive the word, and you've interpreted what it tells you, and you've taken it as if it comes as a heavy burden. Not, that's not how he intended it to be. But you will still get his point across. God speaks to us at our level. That is how he deals with us. So some people that believe God has to bring a heavy burden on them, he is definitely going to speak to them that way. It's going to work for him. He will get the results. But is that his perfect way of dealing with people? No. His burden is light. Isaiah had a burden of the Lord. That was Isaiah. When you say, I have a burden, God keeps something in my mind. I think about it constantly. And then I start realizing that, okay, God is saying something about this thing. It's not a push that is pressing me down. So he will keep this thing in my mind, and as he keeps this thing in my mind, all of a sudden I see something, somebody else comes and says something in line with that thing. Or I see something that relates to that. This is how we live under grace. He brings things along us to connect, and then we connect, then we pick up that this God is saying something to me about this. And then I take that thing. It's not a performance thing where I feel I have to get rid of this burden, but then I see it as I need to cooperate with him, and as I cooperate with him, boom, my faith is active. Then the thing happens, comes to pass. That is how God leads us. We serve a miracle working God. Amen. Let's hear what the Lord is saying to us today. Allow the Lord to help you. The Lord may start speaking to you about these things today, and then ask him, Lord, how do you want me to apply these things? Along the line, he's going to start showing you how to apply these things, and he will start you at your level. He's not going to start you where somebody else is at. That is why when the Bible talks about giving, Paul said, let each man give as he purposed in his heart. There is no talking about you give this week, every week, give this month. There's nothing like that. Give as you purpose in your heart. As you grow in your relationship with the Lord, you'll see what will happen. You will give more than what you gave when you were under the law. I look at my life. My wife will tell you, There was a period where I was so tired of religion. Because I gave my tithes, and things were just not working. I was so faithful giving my tithes. And I got tired of religion. And God was so graceful towards me that He then introduced me to the word of grace. I look today how much I give. I give much more than what I gave when I was giving because of the law. I give more than 10%. I look at my weekly givings. I give more than what I used to give under the law. Why? It's because of the relationship. I know why I'm giving now. I'm not bound by anybody. It's my love for God and what He's doing that is directing me to give. So, this is what we are talking about here. Being a steward. It's a very interesting topic. Now, first of all, introduction. What is a steward? Let's first understand that. I looked at different dictionaries, and one of them, it says, a steward is a person whose job is to manage the land and property of another. So for me, I think this example worked very well compared to the others. So I decided to bring this to your attention. So a steward is a person whose job is to manage the land and property of another. So now we are going to look at Joseph, and we are going to see him being a good steward. And we're going to see what else can we do to be good stewards. Was it only Joseph that was a steward? Are we also stewards? What are we stewarding? Those are the things that we need to look at. Praise the Lord. We started from the beginning with Joseph. So where we are now, this is after he gave the interpretation of the dreams, he is ruling now, and the 7 years of plenty have now passed. So what is happening is now people are starting to experience famine. That's where we are now. So let's go and read now in Genesis chapter 41. We'll read verses 53 to 57 today. Next week, we'll continue. There is part two of this wonderful message. And it's very interesting. It's liberating. Not what you say, it is how you say it. We are not saying it with the law in our minds. We are saying it with grace in our minds. So it's going to bring liberty to us. It's not going to bring bondage to us. I'm not going to say, yes, if we don't do this. So you know why you are where you are. It's because you are not doing these things. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the law would say. But that's not the spirit now that we're sharing this word with. Praise the Lord. So let's read. Genesis 41, 53 to 57, verse 53. At last, the 7 years of bumper crops throughout the land of Egypt came to an end. Then the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had predicted. The famine also struck all the surrounding countries. But throughout Egypt, there was plenty of food. Eventually, however, the famine spread throughout the land of Egypt as well. And when the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them, "Go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you to do." So with severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up the storehouses and distributed grain to the Egyptians. For the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. And people from all around came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe throughout the world. Can you see here that Joseph was a steward? Joseph was put in place by Pharaoh because of the wisdom that God gave to him, and he was looking after the finances. He was running this place. He was a steward. It was not his country. But if you go back, you see that actually it was not even him. It's God who provided this for these people. So Pharaoh himself was a steward. He was looking after what belonged to God. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I just want to say, this should tell you and I that everything that we have as well actually belongs to God. Your body belongs to the Lord. You look after that body because it is not yours. You are a steward of that body. God wants to use that body. Understand, if this body falls dead today, God is not going to use your spirit here on earth. He has to find somebody else. You have to understand that you must look after yourself. That is why we don't do certain things that other people do that destroy their bodies. It's not because we are too religious. It's because we look after our bodies. We are stewards. So you see now the motive, all of a sudden the motive is, I am not trying to impress God by not doing those things. The motive is, I am a steward. God has entrusted my body to me. Therefore, I am not going to destroy this body. Because my motive is different, I all of a sudden get power now to be able to do what I'm supposed to do. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the lessons that we're getting out of this passage. When you have a bumper year, learn to save for lean times. Don't spend all you have. They had 7 years of glory, 7 years of plenty. If they were not under the guidance of God, they would have used everything that they had. As the Lord prospers you, as the Lord blesses you, put aside the extra that you have. God has blessed you so much because He wants you to be a blessing to somebody else. You are a steward of His finances. So put aside that money, because that money has to be used to bless somebody else. You will be blessed yourself, but He wants to bless other people as well. So put that money aside, the extra that you have. And as He gives you instruction to use it, use it. Don't blow everything. Don't go now and wash in money. You know, some people, when they get lotto, with less than 5 years, some of them are in worse condition than they were. Because they are not good stewards. They don't know why that money came to them. And at times it's too late to teach them how to take care of their money when they already have the money. Because they don't want to listen to anybody. Pride. Who are you? I have money. You don't have anything. So you can't tell me anything. Speak with God. He will make you look smart like Joseph. God had a plan. He had a purpose. And this man decided to listen to God. And because he listened to God, he looked so smart. Even Pharaoh said, my man, I cannot do. Nobody can do what you say we should do. You are the right man. So if you stick with what God tells you to do, you look smart. But it's not because of you. It's because of the wisdom that God has given to you. God prospered Joseph and Egypt for a purpose. That prosperity that you are enjoying is for a purpose. Joseph and Egypt were actually stewards of God's provision. It was not theirs. You know, you think I've got money. You must understand the wisdom that you had to get that money came from God. He's the one that gave you that wisdom. You know, the strength that you had for you to be able to do what you did, for you to be able to get the money that you got, it was God who gave you that strength. So everything about you belongs to God. That has to be clear to all of us. Everything I have belongs to God. Once we have that mindset, we'll see how we start dealing with all that we have. We'll see how we spend our time. We'll spend our time differently. Because my time actually belongs to God. I'm not going to waste my time. I will look after myself. Because my body belongs to God. Their wisdom, which produced wealth, came from God. So they were just stewards. This shows that all that we have has been entrusted to us to be a blessing to us and others. So don't just look at yourself. Some people will say, you know what? God has blessed me with enough that I can be fine. You, having all the wisdom of God, being a child of God who's full of love, caring for people, can you imagine how much you would do if you had a lot of money than what you have right now? How many people would be blessed if you would have a lot of money? Currently, you may see the world having a lot of money, and that money, they are using it to destroy their lives. What if that money belonged to you? How many lives would be touched? So don't say, just bless me with enough, Lord. Let me just have enough just for me to survive. That's not good enough. Trust God to expand you. Trust God to increase you. Because now you know the truth. You can be a blessing to more people. If the rulership that Joseph had was given to a person that did not have God's wisdom in him, they would have blown everything that they had. And now they would be going down. So God needs people like you and I to have authority and to have finances. We must look after ourselves. That is, we must look after our spirits, our souls. We must look after our bodies. Our families that we have, we must look after them. And all that belong to us. Our roles in the workplace, those positions. Joseph didn't just get that position to look good. That he earns a big salary. God had a reason. Look after your role, wherever you are. God gave us these to steward. He has a purpose for all of them. Become familiar with the voice of God by spending time in His Word and prayer. And the Word from God can save your life and those around you. This is what happened with Joseph. Joseph was now used to hearing the voice of God so that when a dream was given, he could interpret it. He was familiar with hearing the voice of God. So, get familiar with the voice of God by spending time with Him in His Word and in prayer, so that when there's a need that He speaks directly to you about something, you can easily hear Him. What would have happened if Pharaoh did not get the interpretation? If Joseph could not give the interpretation? Think about that. So this man was familiar with the voice of God, and because of that, he managed to hear very well what was going to happen, and he told Pharaoh, and that exactly happened. But it's because he was familiar with the voice of God. So just spend time in His Word. Spend time speaking to Him. You are familiarizing yourself with His voice. Now, current economic climate will put pressure on people who do not have savings and have a lot of debts. You are aware of what is happening in the world, and not just in South Africa. Now, everybody that does not have savings right now, if they just live on enough, if they've come to the point where everything that they get is just enough to keep them right now, with what the world is talking about in terms of situations becoming worse, those people will be going under, because all of a sudden their income is not going to be enough. Remember, these are cycles. This is happening right now. It's a cycle. Things are going down. Time will come when things will come up again. We don't know how long it will take. So if you have savings, you'll be able to sustain yourself during the difficult times. But God gave us a way. He said, arise and shine, For your light has come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And he said, darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the earth. So we do not want to participate in that. We declare it, that we don't want it, we don't accept that. So, but then I'm saying, if you are not part of that, you're not believing. Those who do not believe as we are doing right now, unfortunately, they will feel a lot of pressure. People with good savings and are not over indebted will have a different experience. So all the time, don't spend everything that you have. And I think us that have got kids that are still young, we need to teach them that. I'm not supposed just to blow up everything that I get. Where are your savings? How much do you have? We need to teach our kids that. You do not prepare during the storm. Build yourself before trouble hits. Be wise. If you're experiencing bumper years, save for lean time. Live a disciplined life guided by God's voice. Let the Lord guide you. Let the voice of the Lord guide you how to use your life, your time, your resources. Do not ignore written word. Because if you follow it, you will find that in many situations, you don't even need to hear the voice of God. This is very, very important. At times, we want God to keep on speaking to us, whereas we are following his written word. And so he has spoken to us already in his written word. And his word is guiding us. So he's not going to speak. There's no need. He has spoken in his written word. So just live according to his word. You will see what will happen. People that are not into performance, people that have worked with God for a long time, they can tell you that God speaks to them on daily basis, on different matters, as there is a need. But there are things as well in their lives that God just spoke one word. And then when they started doing their thing, God never said another thing about their thing. So that word is now carrying them. And they are seeing things happening because he spoke to them and they are just following that word. So if we just take that one word that is in the Bible and you apply that word, you may not need to hear the voice of the Lord in that particular area. He will speak to you about other things. So let's just be used to following the word of God. Praise the Lord. If you are a good steward of what God has entrusted to you, you will be a blessing to many people. Just like Joseph, be a good steward. That's our message. Be a good steward. I want to tell you good news before I close. As Christians, we are not limited to the world's systems. I just spoke now about the economic climate, what is happening in the world. We can refuse to participate. We don't have to participate in that. We can refuse to participate because our system is different. They know only the world system, but we know better. So let us start tapping into that system that we have. And we are going to see the results coming. Let me show you the example here. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. First thing, understand that when you give into the kingdom of God, you are laying up for yourself. This is a principle. It's a principle in the Word of God. So know that as you are busy saving in the world, applying those principles, as I mentioned, you've got another thing that you can do. Lay up in heaven as well. Give. And the Bible says there, thieves and robbers do not enter. Thieves do not just come to houses. Thieves do come to stock exchange and they steal. So don't put your trust in your investments. There is a higher way as well. Have those investments, but as well understand that you are doing well by laying up for yourself in heaven, by putting money into the things of heaven. It says thieves do not enter there. Moth and rust, they don't go and eat up there. So as a child of God, the Bible says, give as you have purposed in your heart. So you know that of my salary, I save this much. But as well, I give this much. Decide yourself. Don't let anybody tell you. God is going to bless you for what you are giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. That's the New Testament scripture. If you sow sparingly, you will reap how? Sparingly. So in other words, then it says decide yourself how much you want to give. But you must know that your giving decides as well how much you get. But you are not under any pressure from anybody. Be a good steward. The other thing I want to mention here is, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is one principle that we need to understand, that unfortunately, your heart follows your money. Where you spend a lot of your money, that's where your heart will want to be. So, if you spend a lot of money on things outside the kingdom, that's where your heart will be. Your heart will follow you there. You spend a lot of money in the kingdom, all of a sudden you see yourself focusing on the kingdom. It's a principle. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. It's a principle. You don't spend a lot of money in church, we'll see you every now and then. You give money into the kingdom of God, you will be in the house of God. If you are investing so much outside, that's where your heart will be. But if you start investing in the kingdom of God, your heart will be in the kingdom of God as well. I'm not talking about being saved and not saved. I'm just talking about your heart, where you think about things and where you get involved. That's what I'm talking about. You may be born again, but your heart being somewhere else. So I'm not talking about being born again. Conclusion. I'm going to read a story that Jesus told to his disciples. It's in Luke. Now, Jesus tells this story. He says there was a rich man that had a steward. This steward was not handling the finances correctly. So the man came and said, I hear that you are mismanaging my finances. He said, get your books in order because you will be fired. And then this is the story now. Luke 16 from verse 3. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. He got the message. The boss said, you will be fired. He says, I am fired already. My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches. And I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends. Look at that. Who will give me a home when I am fired? This is Jesus telling the story. It's not somebody else. So there's a lot of wisdom here from heaven. This man, he says he's going to make friends. So that when he's fired, his friends will welcome him to their homes. Verse 5. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him? The man replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. So the manager told him, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. I'm sure that man was so happy. And all of a sudden he felt indebted to this man. Then, and how much do you owe
My employer, he asked the next man, I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat, was the reply. Yeah, the manager said, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd.
This is Jesus speaking. And he's making it clear that this man is not starting to praise this guy. But the rich man had to admire the rascal for being so shrewd. Now listen to this.
And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light.
The rascal was doing what rascals should do. They should be wise and use their money, their resources to provide for their future.
This is what is recommended here. He is using his money correctly now to provide for his future. Before this, he was blowing up everything that he had. But then now he heard that he's going to be fired. Then he's starting to use his money for the future. And that is now commended by the rich man. Check verse 9.
Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. It's not Kenneth who's saying this.
Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home.
What is Jesus talking about?
Use your money to win the lost. So that when you are gone, your earthly possessions are gone, when you are no longer here on earth, you go to heaven, you will have friends that will welcome you when you get to heaven.
This is the story that tells us where people, when people say all the people that you helped to have them receive the gospel through your finances or however, the people that you won over as you witness to them, that they tell us that you will meet those people, they will come to you in heaven and come and thank you for what you did for them.
So Jesus is saying the money that we have, we should use that money to do what? To win the lost. It's not just the money, but the positions of authority that we have, the resources that we have, your energy. Use your energy to win the lost. Use your time to win the lost. Use your finances to win the lost. Use your property to win the lost. He says, if you do not do that, you are not as wise as the rascals of the world. Everything that you have, use it to win the loss. That's the story. That's the subject.
And then verse 10, he says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. What was he talking about?
I was talking about money. Jesus is saying money is the little thing. Your finances is the little things. So he says, if you're not faithful in little things, using your resources to make friends who will receive you in your eternal home, he says, you will not be honest in greater things.
You listen to people that God is using mightily. All of them, they are very generous.
They have come to understand the reason for their finances. They have come to understand the reason for their time and resources that they have. They spend those things to expand the kingdom of God. And then what God does, they are faithful in little things. Then they are promoted to greater things.
We do not show faithfulness in little things. We prevent our promotion to greater things.
And what is the little thing here?
It's finances.
So as I said, I'm not putting anyone under bondage. Don't give some amount here that you feel you have to now because of what we've taught here. No, I'm saying ask God, let God show you what he wants you to do. And if you are then faithful in that little thing that God shows you to do, you are proving yourself to be faithful. And God will be able to promote you to greater responsibilities. But if you are not faithful in little things, don't expect to see promotion, because it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. Verse 11, and if you are untrustworthy about the worldly wealth, can you see now, he's saying it exactly. I'm not just now making a story out of what he said. He says, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? What are the riches of heaven? It's souls. Who will trust you with the ministry of the riches of heaven if you cannot handle your finances? In other words, using your finances to win souls. Remember I said when I started this message, I don't want you to get under any bondage, but I want to show you principles that work and follow the Lord to lead you. That's what is happening here. Verse 12, and if you are not faithful with other people's things. You know, I was taught by one of my previous pastors, and it's a principle that I honor so much that I tried to live by. He would say, if somebody lends you his car, you don't have your car, he lends you his car. He says, look after that car better than you would look after your own car. That's the first thing. Number two, when you bring it back, wash it clean and fill the tank. If you cannot be faithful with what does not belong to you, who is going to give you what belongs to you? We need to understand that, Bazalan. We are stewards. So we have to be faithful with what God has given to us. And what doesn't belong to us, belong to other people. We must take care of it as if it's ours. Verse 13, no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. And unfortunately, this is what is happening. It says, you cannot serve both God and money. Clap. If what you are all about is to get money, you will see you drift away from the Lord. And if you get money and you do not use the money to win souls, you will see what will happen. You will drift away from the Lord. Because now you've got money to spend on yourself. I need to relax. I need a weekend away skiing. So I'm not coming to church. Please allow me. I'm not going to come to church because God has blessed me so much now. I can go skiing now. So then I go away. I don't come to church. You're saving money, brother. And the fact is because you're not using your money the way that you're supposed to be using your money. I hope this truth has set you free in a sense that it did not put you under any bondage, but it shows you the principles. Remember, God says, arise and shine. Let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for your word. We receive this teaching, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, for us to become good stewards. Father, we thank you that in this year, 2016, that you said it's the year when we will arise and shine. Your glory will be seen upon our lives, Father. Now we believe that the word like this is helping us to arise. This is where now we are rising. As we start applying these principles, Father God, and not being dictated by what is happening around us, Father, we are arising, Father God. And thank you, Father God, that as we honor these principles, Father God, in Jesus' name, we will see your light shining forth
of our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, that you are quick to bless us. And Lord, your word teaches us that you bless us even before we act, because our blessings depend on what Jesus Christ did for us. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we receive your blessings, your abundant blessings upon our lives. We say we are blessed coming in, we are blessed going out. Everything that we touch prospers. We are the head and not the tail. We are on top and not beneath. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen.